If I had my way, I'd have Captain Smollett work us back into the trades at least. Then we'd have no blessed miscalculations and a spoonful of water a day. But I know the sort you are. I'll finish with him at the island, as soon as the blunt's on board, and a pity it is. But you're never happy till you're drunk. Split me sides, I've a sick heart to sail with the likes of you.
Easy all, Long John, cried Israel. Who's a crossing of you?
Why, how many tall ships, think you now, have I seen laid aboard? And how many brisk lads drying in the sun at execution dock? Cried Silva. And all for the same hurry and hurry and hurry. You hear me? I seen a thing or two at sea, I have. If you would only lay your course and a point to windward, you'd ride in carriages, you would. But not you. I know you. You'll have your mouthful of rum tomorrow and go hang.
Everybody knowed you was a kind of chaplain, John. But there's others as could hand and steer as well as you, said Israel. They liked a bit of fun, they did. They wasn't so high and dry nohow, but took their fling like jolly companions, every one.
So, says Silva, why and where are they now? Pew was that sort, and he died a beggar man. Flint was, and he died of rum at Savannah. Ah, they were a sweet crew, they was, only where are they?
But, asked Dick, where do we lay him athwart? What are we to do with him anyhow?
There's the man for me, cried the cook admiringly. That's what I call business. Well, what would you think? Put him ashore like maroons? That would have been England's way. Or cut him down like that much pork? That would have been Flint's or Billy Bones's.
Billy was the man for that, said Israel. Dead men don't bite, says he. Well, he's dead now himself. He knows the long and the short on it now. But if ever a rough hand came to port, it was Billy.
Right you are, said Silva. Rough and ready. But mark you here, I'm an easy man. I'm quite the gentleman, says you. But this time it's serious. Duty is duty, mates. I give my vote death. When I'm in Parliament and riding in my coach, I don't want none of these sea lawyers in a cabin a-coming home unlooked for like a devil at prayers. Wait, is what I say, but when the time comes, why, let her rip.
John, cries the coxswain, you're a man.
You'll say so, Israel, when you see, said Silva. Only one thing I claim Trelawney. I'll wring his calf's head off his body with these hands, Dick, he added, breaking off. You just jump up like a sweet lad and get me an apple to wet me pipe-like.
You may fancy the terror I was in. I should have leapt out and run for it if I'd found the strength, but my limbs and heart alike misgave me. I heard Dick begin to rise, and then someone seemingly stopped him, and the voice of Hans exclaimed,
"Oh, stow that. Don't you get sucking of that bilge, John. Let's have a go of the rum."
"Dick," said Silva, "I trust you. I've a gauge on the keg, mind. There's the key. You fill a pannikin and bring it up."
Terrified as I was, I could not help thinking to myself that this must have been how Mr. Arrow got the strong waters that destroyed him. Dick was gone but a little while, and during his absence, Israel spoke straight on in the cook's ear. It was but a word or two that I could catch, and yet I gathered some important news, for besides other scraps that tended to the same purpose, this whole clause was audible.
"Not another man of 'em will join."
Hence, there were still faithful men on board. When Dick returned, one after another of the trio took the pannikin and drank. One to luck, another with a
"Here's to old Flint,"
and Silva himself saying in a kind of song,
"Here's to ourselves and hold your luff, plenty of prizes and plenty of duff."
Just then, a sort of brightness fell upon me in the barrel, and looking up, I found the moon had risen and was silvering the mizzen-top and shining white on the luff of the foresail, and almost at the same time, the voice of the lookout shouted, "Land ho!"